This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Good afternoon,
Bears fans. This is Take the North with your hosts, David Haw and Dan Weider.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome to the Take the North podcast. I'm David Haw from the Mully and Haw Show on 670 The Score. Dan Weider is from the Chicago Tribune, covers the Bears, and this is the Take the North podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch us on the 670 Scores YouTube page as well. Dan, it's been quite a week. Here to wrap it up, we're going to talk about the Caleb Williams Pro Day and some of the ramifications and all the details, as well as what DJ Moore had to say. Keenan Allen showed up at Caleb Williams Pro Day, but DJ Moore weighed in on Thursday morning on the Score, and then whatever else. I think it's been as good of a week as it probably could have been for the Bears. I liked a lot of the reaction. Caleb Williams talked to a lot of different people. He made the rounds. Dan, I just think that what happened this week was the Bears seemed to be operating a little bit more freely and relaxed. Maybe I'm projecting, but started by unloading Justin Fields, and that seemed to open the door to like everything else falling into place. It was a very good week for the Bears as they continue their moving toward the draft when you expect them to take Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I mean, there's layers to this, David, and I feel like we got down a couple layers deep in the process this week with the Bears trying to advance what looks to be almost a certain marriage right now that will save the date for April 25th, right? It'll be in Detroit if Caleb Williams chooses to be in Detroit, which I would bet he would like to be there as the guy that takes the stage first at the NFL draft. And I thought the visit to Southern California this week was not just about that pro day that was televised on Wednesday. It was about Monday night. It was about Tuesday. It was about the time they spent together Wednesday. You heard Caleb tell multiple outlets on Wednesday afternoon, this is about building a relationship, and that relationship seems like it's picking up steam.
I think the details are interesting because the Bears went out there on Monday night and they dedicated 3 days to get to know Caleb Williams and the person, and then the pro day kind of exposed them to the player, but that wasn't the main purpose of the trip west. They had a function at a trendy club in West Hollywood, where a place that Jay-Z rented out before the Grammys, and Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce have been spotted. It's a private club. That's, you know, look, these are little things. Details matter, though. Oh, and I think in the pursuit, as you know, I mean, you covered the heck out of the 2017 pre-draft process, and they didn't take care of all the details, and it cost them, I think, in the long run. I feel like those may seem insignificant, but it shows you the extent to which the Bears are prepared to maybe anticipate everything and think of everything, and somebody's helping them with those little things. And, you know, just seeing how he interacts with teammates in a casual setting, and then Tuesday getting him on the whiteboard at the USC facility, where I think Brad reported that, you know, Caleb Williams was known, they noticed he was taking so many notes. And then obviously the pro day itself. Dan, I think there were 3 days that the Bears sounds like they thought of everything and they saw everything they wanted to see.
Massive props to my Tribune colleague, Brad Biggs, for diving down and getting so many details during his quick venture out west. And Brad really did a terrific job in his story. If you haven't read it yet, get to ChicagoTribune.com and read the comprehensive recap of going through that period of really what was 48 hours. This is speed dating in a lot of ways. You mentioned the Bird Street Club, which is where they went with not only Caleb Williams, but with a few of his teammates. And I think that's a detail that I'd like to dive a little deeper on when we get a chance to talk to some people next week in Orlando, in terms of the strategy there of not just having it be Caleb and then a bunch of Bears representatives, but having Caleb in a comfortable setting with some of his guys that will also be participating in the pro day to do that. You mentioned the Tuesday that they spent on campus, the whiteboard in the meeting. You know, one of the things that I uncovered in my reporting leading up to the combine was that when you're picking one, you have the luxury of not only vetting a prospect, but if you start to fall head over heels for him, and you know, with the likely outcome being that he's going to be on your team. Well, guess what? You get to use all this time to start building the ideal setup for him when he gets in your building. And so to hear some of Brad's reporting uncover the fact that the Bears are learning how Caleb Williams learns, you know, and trying right. to get an idea of that.
That's really a good point. Smart
stuff. There's a lot of savvy that goes into like, okay, when he gets on our campus in early May for rookie camp, what's the best way of making sure that first month on the job makes him comfortable and the information is coming to him the way he absorbs it best? These are all critical steps that go towards making a quarterback comfortable and confident and ultimately have that command. And then just listening to some of the quotes that Lincoln Riley had to Brad about Caleb's ability to transition, did it at Oklahoma, did it at Southern Cal. He's been through a lot of different experiences over these last 3 or 4 years, and those will all help him as he makes this next huge transition to the NFL.
I was thinking about this after we taped the podcast after the pro day on Wednesday, and thinking about, okay, how do you best describe what we just talked about and saw? You know, you mentioned Lincoln Riley citing the fact that Caleb Williams went to Oklahoma, made an impact, handled the, you know, pressure and scrutiny. He went to USC and it even escalated and he did even better. I think when you consider all of those experiences, and then today's modern college athlete, which he, I think, epitomizes, the NIL, he's a millionaire as a college athlete. And what you saw on display, I think, on Pro Day as much as anything was the professionalism of a professional. This isn't like, you know, talk about guys who come into the NFL in the good old days, like last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And it's like, okay, can they handle the scrutiny? And Jerry Angelo always just said, what will the guys do when they have two things they've never had, time and money?
Yeah.
Well, they've got money. And I think with Caleb Williams, it might be a little thing, but every interview that he did, and he made the rounds from the NFL Network to Colin Cowherd to ESPN to the media scrum, the local guys, and the Brad Biggses who came out on the Bears beat, he was really pro. He was really professional. He was a true pro. And I think that he's polished, and that is just one aspect of it. But I think you see it in other parts of his presentation, if you will, the way he handled himself on the field, the way he paid attention to detail, down to everything that he had to do, he did. And that's a professional approach to what was a memorable pro day.
You use the word polished, and I think it's important to also attach to that it doesn't feel phony. Certainly my experience in Indianapolis and watching from afar the things that went on this week, it doesn't feel manufactured. You know, and the other part of this with Caleb Williams and people you talk to that have been around him, you get in between those lines and that's his domain. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you can feel that aura of like, this is my stage. And this is like, he owns it. Every time he's out there playing or practicing or doing a workout or whatever it is, that's his comfort zone, you know? And so that part I have very few, if any, worries about. You know, Dennis Simmons, his passing game coordinator at USC, told me back in early February that when he made his first appearance in the middle of a red rivalry shootout game against Texas at Oklahoma, replacing Spencer Rattler in the middle of the game and went on and led a huge comeback victory, it was just an immediate exclamation point on, okay, stage isn't too big for this kid. You know, there's literally no awe in him as he takes on some of these big tasks. For me, the biggest concern I have going forward, if and when he becomes a Chicago Bear, is just managing all the outside stuff. That's it, mm-hmm. right? Like that's mm-hmm. the biggest thing. And that's no small task. It's a huge challenge because you do have to find people that you can trust to protect you and to keep you insulated in a way where you can handle your business, still enjoy outside opportunity and do it all in a way that is synchronized properly. And that's going to be something that the Bears are going to have to get their arms around as well.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Now that you had a day or so to kind of digest and process everything that happened and read all that he said and did and hear it as well, did any part of you hear anything, and maybe I missed it because I didn't, did you hear anything that would lead people to believe that he had a reluctance to come to Chicago, or he's going to be a diva once he gets here, or he had all the things that were maybe assigned to him because of an interview his dad did? I don't know that I heard any of that. And maybe even there was a I don't want to be say an attempt to kind of correct the record, but he did seem not defensive, but it did seem like he wanted to make clear that, you know, he was trying to bring some humility into it, not assuming he was going to be the number one overall right. pick. And I think that is also important. So I didn't hear anything that would lead me to believe, if I didn't know some of the concerns going into Wednesday's pro day about what people had heard and all the things they're assigning to an interview 6 months ago for with his dad or whatever, I wouldn't have known that this is somebody who was reluctant to go anywhere or there were any questions about.
So I was just looking down to pull up the direct quote to Steve Wyche after the pro day workout, when he was asked if he is fully expecting to go number one overall to the Bears. And he said, "I wouldn't say it's my full expectation. Obviously things can happen. Things can change throughout this time. I think it's around 30 days or so until April 25th. A lot can change. You take it day by day and handle and control what you can control." I think that gave a few people initially a pause going, what does he mean? Things can change and he's not fully expecting to be a Bears and things can happen. People at all times nowadays are looking to read into everything. The subsequent interviews that you mentioned that he did with Colin Cowherd, that he did with Lewis Riddick on ESPN, that he did with the scrum on the track surrounding the practice field, didn't give you any indication that he's reluctant to become a Chicago Bear, that he's going to be a headache when he becomes a Chicago Bear. I think this is probably a new experience and in some ways an awkward experience for him leading up to his transition into the NFL of figuring out a way to exhibit confidence while also, as you said, being humble about certain things that are going to be afforded to him. What I take out of it personally, and I had this conversation with my colleague Colleen Kane earlier today, is that we are in a phase right now where every single breath the Chicago Bears take is a headline.
Yes. Yes.
And that
it's been a while since that's been the case. It's been exactly. A long time since that's been true.
It takes some getting used to it. I bring this up because Colleen and I are literally, we're flying out to Orlando this weekend. We'll be at the league meetings. And there were years in the past where you could kind of ration out some of your content and say, okay, I can collect stuff and I can shoot that, 4 months down the road. Well, nowadays you can't hoard much anymore because every single day someone somewhere has a new story on the Chicago Bears and it is a headline. The Chicago right. Bears are going to have to get used to this existence because, as you just mentioned, it's been a while, right? And so there is going to be a spectacle around having Caleb Williams, around dropping him into a team that seems ready to compete right away, around managing expectation, around managing the spotlight. Like there's a lot of this that's going to come with it. And so it's going to be fascinating to follow because it really does feel like every day you wake up and there's a new major headline. You know what I mean?
And you have a real somewhat polarizing, it's not somewhat polarizing. I think he is polarizing. Caleb Williams.
Which is strange in some ways.
I think it is strange because I was just going to add that when you take yourself back and in the Chicago sports scene, it's been a fascinating year. It always is. But it was in June or May of 2023 where not to this degree, because hockey is somewhat of a niche sport, even in a good hockey town like Chicago, but Connor Bedard was the presumptive number one pick. Connor Bedard was somebody that every time he spoke to hockey media, the expectation was he was going to say something like, yeah, the Hawks are going to take me. I'm going to go there and I'm going to be the difference and I'm going to help them win a cup again. And, he was humble. He wasn't presumptive. And you know what? When I heard Caleb Williams talk on Wednesday about Well, you know, he stopped short of assuming anything, because I don't think that you want to assume anything. There are things that could be under the category of unforeseen circumstances. You just don't know. And if you're that kid in that spot, you can't assume. He sounded like Connor Bedard. I mean, different sport, different personality, certainly. But what he said and how he said it was very similar. So, and nobody was saying about Connor Bedard going into the NHL draft, he's a diva. And he was basically saying the same thing and pumping the brakes a little bit, because you just can't go that far until it's actually official.
I'll give you a different sport as well. I spent 7 years of my life covering Coach K on Tobacco Road. You talk about polarizing. You talk about a figure whose every word could be twisted into whatever story the person twisting it wanted to turn it into. I lived that experience, and it was a great eye-opening moment for me as a journalist to realize, wow, like, there are things that are perceived in the outside world that couldn't be further from the truth in the reality zone, you know, on ground level. And so that's going to be the experience that Caleb Williams walks into in Chicago. And they're going to have to figure out how to navigate that, where the actual reality is misperceived by people that are either actively trying to misperceive it on the outside, or just gullibly falling for some things that have been, you know, not framed properly. That's part of this, right? Like, and when we talk about Caleb Williams being polarizing, it's not just because he paints his nails, and it's not just because he cried in the stands. It's because there has been a social media war, particularly here in Chicago, about who he is and who he isn't, and what that represents and what it doesn't represent. And it has taken on levels of insanity that I don't think you and I have ever seen in anything that we've covered, mostly because it's 2024 and social media runs the world, and it's a wild place. And I tweeted it the other day. These are wild times within wild times right now. And I stand by that times 100.
I think you're exactly right. And I think also you have to factor into everything you said that he's replacing somebody who was wildly popular on social media in Justin Fields. And I think that's what you look at in terms of Justin Fields' popularity with the fan base, and let's, you know, pivot to the DJ Moore comments, his popularity in the locker room. You know, Jalen Johnson goes on with Kay Adams and talks about, well, Caleb can't be Hollywood. He mentioned Hollywood twice, and he left the impression that, you know, he's going to have to earn his stripes, and everyone understands and respects that. DJ Moore, who was as vocal of a supporter of Justin Fields as anybody, kind of had to adjust what he had to say, but I think they're all professionals and they'll figure it out. You're going to say something about Jalen Johnson, because Jalen Johnson's words, I think, they got a lot of attention because he is not shy about expressing his opinion, as we know.
So there's two things I want to say about that. Number one, I saw certain aggregations of that appearance with Kay Adams, where the headline and the interpretation of what Jalen said were just like, okay, now this, these aggregations are why athletes hate the media. They mm-hmm. really are, because he's having a one-on-one, forthright, candid conversation and expressing things that I thought were heartfelt and justifiable and legitimate. And then all of a sudden it becomes the headline of Jalen Johnson doesn't want Caleb Williams to be Hollywood. Or, well, let's relax on that. I wanted to ask you a follow-up question, because you were here. I wasn't when Jay Cutler had to come join an established locker room where there were people that had preconceived notions about who Jay Cutler was. Some of them were accurate, right? But there was a time here, and you were part of it, where a hotshot quarterback was coming in to Halas Hall with a group of veterans that were like, oh no, you know, I don't know about this guy. And there was a lot to navigate with that.
Well, it's a good comparison, and it's probably a longer conversation, but just my initial reaction was that was 2009. The celebration of Jay Cutler's arrival was every bit as intense and euphoric as I think it will be the day that they draft Caleb Williams. There was an expectation that the Bears franchise quarterback finally had arrived. And the difference that I see right now was that in Caleb Williams, I do see a polished communicator, a more enthusiastic participant, and a willing teammate. In Jay Cutler, from day one, he was none of those. And that's not being unfair as much as it's just having a good memory. I was there front and center. I can tell you every step of the way, that was a difficult transition for everybody, for the Bears organization, who didn't know what they were getting, for the Bears media who were like, are you kidding me with this guy? And two, I think Bears teammates who had similar reactions. See, Jay Cutler didn't try to ingratiate himself into the locker room. He expected the locker room to adjust to him. And that was his biggest mistake early on. He struggled. And I think that was also something he probably, you know, would have won him over more fans. If Caleb Williams is successful, he can wear shades into the locker room in the middle of the morning. He could be Hollywood as hell. It won't matter because he'll produce. Cutler struggled that first season and got behind the eight ball. He eventually worked his way back a little bit and had some success, but great comparison. Different personalities.
No question. And it seems like you have greater confidence that Caleb will be able to connect with teammates much more quickly than Jay ever did. I just remember that, you know, even Urlacher being outspoken, that, you know, the voice and face of that locker room, expressing some, you know, like, I don't know if this dude fits what we are inside this locker room here. And it was a reservation. And so I brought that up just because it seems like Jalen was asking a similar question. He wasn't coming to a conclusion, but it was like, I need to see if this guy is capable of fitting what we're building in this locker room. Right. And I need to see it produced.
Good comments. It's a fair question. Here's the other significant difference. I think Jay Cutler was coming into a team that was defensive driven like this one is, but that core of that defense had been to a Super Bowl. Had won a championship. They
had
were
a Hall of
much,
Famer or two.
That yeah, a couple Hall of Famers on that team, and so you looked at that. Him coming in, there was the expectation from guys who had been there before, established this winning tradition, that mini tradition, but this winning culture, if you will. And Jay didn't really think that he had to adapt to them as much as they had to adapt to him. Caleb Williams, I think he has an easier confidence. He does strike me as somebody who might be more pliable. He's younger, which helps. He's less accomplished than Cutler was when he was coming to the Bears, so maybe he feels like he'll have more to prove. And rookies typically, when they're making that transition to the NFL, understand somebody's going to get in his ear, I think, maybe this is wishful thinking, and help him recognize there is a need to lead with humility. And I think that if he can do that, he can avoid some of the things that got in Cutler's way, because Cutler had all the talent. We all know that. We don't need to relitigate that. It was his problem as much above the shoulders as anything.
My last conversation or part of this, I know we want to play some of DJ Moore's reaction to Justin Fields' exit, but we've spent a lot of time making these Mahomes comps, and I think people have twisted those out of proportion and missed what was actually being said about the skill set. But I've said for a while now that like the Josh Allen comp to me, in terms of a guy coming into an organization that has been success starved for 20 plus years and hasn't had any success to sustain. If the Bears could go on a five-year run like the Bills are currently on, where they've won 58 regular season games and gone to five straight playoffs and you know, won some games in the playoffs and put themselves on that stage, this city will be sideways.
Sideways.
Sideways with Lee.
Couldn't agree more. You know, they never really took advantage of 06. And, you know, I think from 06, 05 to 2010 maybe – That was pretty cool to be in Chicago, but I think that this is a different. Everything seems a little bit more magnified and intensified. You're right. I mean, if they could even have a Bills-like run and he could have a Josh Allen-like impact on the Bears, boy, now we're talking. Now that this is a passionate football city where people aren't shouting at each other, they're all headed and shouting for the same thing.
There's no question. It'll be fun. So
it'll be fun.
Why don't you take it away with some of the DJ stuff?
Well, DJ Moore, I think, is an interesting voice. I mean, he's been a consummate. You talk about a professional. DJ Moore, it's in the middle of March. He's in his off season. We ask him to call in at 8:25, and at 8:24, he delivered. I mean, this is the guy that would call us after night games on the West Coast, and he'd be on time 8 o'clock every Monday morning. And he was watching Mickey Mouse Club with his kids, and he still called in. And obviously, we began the conversation on the Mully and Haw Show on Thursday morning with what his reaction was to the trade of Justin Fields.
I didn't see it coming, but it happened, and that's the business of it all. So I know we're going to continue to do good things over there in Pittsburgh, and we're just going to start over here with a new beer bag. So I'm looking forward to it.
You tweeted out business is business, and I think everybody understood what you meant, because it wasn't something that the Bears probably wanted to do because of the popularity of Justin Fields and the future that he has ahead of him. From a football perspective, though, you said you're kind of excited about it. There is some unknown, but obviously Caleb Williams looks like he's going to be there. He had his pro day yesterday. Curious how closely you followed that, and is that the part that is somewhat exciting?
I really haven't been keeping up with it because I've been in daddy mode and family mode. So, but whoever we get, I'm going to be excited to work with him. And yeah, like I said, business is business. Nobody wanted him to go, but at the end of the day, that's what the organization made the plans to do. So we're just going to go with that.
Just going to go with that, Dan. He understands. A guy who played with as many quarterbacks as DJ Moore played with in Carolina is not going to bristle at the arrival of Caleb Williams.
DJ is a different cat, and I appreciate the way he sees the world. You know, he is not one of these big ego, high maintenance wide receivers. You know, he just kind of lives in his world. And when it's time to come to the football facility and work, he works. When it's time to go to the stadium on Sunday, he produces. And he just doesn't seem to be fully connected to the ins and outs and every development in the off season or even in the season as some of the rest of us are. And I feel like you probably experienced some of that as you're picking his brain on what has been the hottest topic in Bears football, and him just being like, I'm playing with my kids. You know, I'll see you guys in April.
I admire his work-life balance, especially as it pertains to the hottest quarterback in the country right now, and that would be Caleb Williams. So I asked him, what does he know about Caleb Williams?
I've seen film on him. Watched him a few times on the game, and I've seen him on TV. He even got there diamond people up, so I'm excited that he does that. And if we get him, I hope he just comes in and just get ready to work. And you can't really worry about the legacy of Justin Fields. You just got to go out there and do your own thing.
That was interesting. Can't worry about the legacy of Justin Fields. Aware of that. It's going to be kind of a shadow cast over the Caleb Williams arrival until he starts to produce. But I also think that you're right. He's not necessarily caught up in watching every pro day. He's not Keenan Allen showing up just because he can and watching Caleb Williams. I think DJ Moore knows that once he gets there, as long as he's a professional, he'll be accepted.
It'll be interesting. You know, I mean, they'll be an initial transition. There'll be an initial acclimation period. Ultimately, particularly when you are surrounded by guys that can make plays for you, if you just get them the football, they're going to like you pretty quickly, right? Like, I mean, that definitely happens in this league. And so Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet should be pretty excited about it.
DJ Moore, probably more explosive. Keenan Allen, arguably more efficient. Both guys can be interchangeable. Both guys can run great routes and make things happen. Keenan Allen, great hands. He can get open, but just because of his savvy, he can go around at different positions and spots on the field. Really, each guy, Keenan Allen comes to the Bears with over 900 receptions. DJ Moore is coming off a Pro Bowl caliber season. I think either guy could be your number one de facto wide receiver. We know how receivers are, so I had to ask DJ Moore the question about, hey, who is the number one wide receiver on the Chicago Bears?
Does it matter on this team as Keenan Allen comes with all of his catches over 900 and all of his yards in his career? Does it matter who the number one wide receiver is on the Bears?
Oh, no, it doesn't really matter to me. You know, we both talked about how we're just going to compliment each other. So I'm just looking forward to that. Whoever good, like, it might be a race to 1,000, but that's just a friendly competition. But at the end of the day, if we win it, and whoever catches the ball, I don't really care.
It should work out very well.
Yeah, it should. So, like I said, we're probably going to compliment each other. You know, we're going to see. I can't give y'all too much about what we talk about.
You know, can you imagine that, Dan? I mean, obviously, Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall were quite a tandem. You go back in Bears history, it's hard to find another one as productive. But if DJ Moore and Keenan Allen have a race to 1,000 yards and both guys are within striking distance as we get to December, that means things have gone very, very well.
Look, like, I know back in the day we had a good graphics team here at Take the North. Maybe we need to have a regular update on the race to 1,000, you know, and we'll start that in September and we'll see who wins. You know, it'd be a fun thing to track. And it certainly, like, those are the types of storylines that we should hopefully be crossing the bridge into the theme park where those are available to us going forward, you know, with a team that can compete with proven playmakers surrounded by a really talented quarterback. This should be, as we've been saying for a while now, a really exciting time for Chicago Bears football.
Last thing on this, is it also true? Chris Beatty was the coach at Maryland when DJ Moore was there. They have a connection. He also coached Keenan Allen for 3 years with the Chargers, a Bears wide receivers coach. So there's that connection. You would think that this is the ideal situation. The Bears wide receivers are never going to be more comfortable than they are when they report to OTAs or for training camp with being coached by a guy who knows both players very, very well.
Right, David. I think that's important here because, like, you're not wasting time getting to know each other. You know what I mean? Chris Beatty should be able to jump right in and know how to push the buttons for both those guys and bring them together and get them on the same page with their quarterback and their coordinator and go down that path in a way that is really time efficient. And that's time is of the essence for a lot of people in this league, and that should be very helpful.
And we are out of time for this podcast, but we will be back with a mailbag episode over the weekend. So you want to keep an eye out for that. Covered a lot of ground here. The Caleb Williams reaction, that will continue as the Bears get closer to the draft and go to various other pro days. I think they're going to be in Ann Arbor for J.J. McCarthy on Friday. And then we'll continue to monitor the latest in the owners meetings, which you'll be at in Florida next week, as well as when Caleb Williams comes to Chicago, visits Lake Forest, and maybe can they rent out a trendy club in the West Loop? They were in West Hollywood. From West Hollywood to the West Loop, the pursuit of Caleb Williams continues.
Early Thursday, there was a small Bears contingent in South Bend at the pro day for Joe Alt. That's something worth keeping an eye on if the Bears want to hold out hopes that he's available at number 9.
Was Simo doing drills with Alt? Did you see that?
He was. Chris Morgan was helping to run the drills at the pro day. So that's some good hands-on experience with a guy that a lot of the talent evaluators see as a really, really surefire, huge, athletic, just absolute stud at the offensive tackle position.
Sure thing. Yeah, this is so much fun. Every development really seems to matter. The Bears are relevant. As we look at this offseason in the NFL, everything they do becomes a headline. That was well put. And so we'll end it there. We'll be back with plenty more stuff because there's going to be plenty more to happen as this offseason continues. For Adam Sadinski and Dan Weider, I'm David Haw. Thank you for listening to the Take the North podcast.
Take that, Morehead State. Great talk. See you out there.